Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you think Canada is a great place to live? Anybody think Canada is a... Thank you. Absolutely. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is Canada, everyone is welcome. And I thank you for coming on such a beautiful, beautiful day. It's easy to be tempted to be outside enjoying the sunshine. Today you are going to learn a little bit about John Wesley, founder of Methodism, Abraham Lincoln, and of course the Queen. And some reflections from Mary Jo Leddy on founding myths of Canada that have shaped who we are, and how we see the world. Can I tell you a little bit about what I like about Canada? Do you know what's number one on the list? Family, thank you. Universal health care. Anybody like universal health care here? Absolutely, thank you. Regardless of race, color, creed, economic status, we all have access to excellent health care. I don't want to say it's free because I know we pay for it through our taxes, but it's accessible to all. And I think Jesus, who cured a lot of sick people and hung out with people on the margins who obviously could not afford the health care of Jesus' day, would be pretty pleased with that. Secondly, I like the fact we tend to be a pretty tolerant people. We're not pushy or shovey. We try and get along. And after graduating from Queens, I went to Kenya for 3 months as a volunteer with Canadian Crossroads. And you would be amazed at the reception you would receive if you had a little red and white Canada pin, you know, on your backpack or on your shirt. I was always amazed by that. And lastly, at least today, I love the outdoors. I've always felt a sense of God's presence outside. Yesterday at the beach, watching the waves come in or watching the sun go down, beautiful sunsets. And I realize that other countries also have nice sunsets, but Canada seems to have an abundance of the great outdoors, and I thoroughly like that for it. A place where you can be still and know that I am God, take a deep breath, and have a sense of God's presence in our midst. So today, I want you to take a moment and share with someone around you, or just imagine what you love about Canada and living here. Can you handle that? Try and talk to someone you usually don't talk to. Go for it. So what do you like about Canada, Ian? You obviously came here from somewhere else, so you weren't born here. Really? Yeah. Yeah, your brother went, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. And it's cool you got to go see your brother. I mean, I've never been to South Africa, but that would have been awesome. Not to mention just to catch up. I don't think you've seen him for a while. Well, that's cool. Please stop. Thank you. You can continue that conversation at Coffee and Conversation, saying hello to people. Does anybody want to shout out in a word or two? What do you like about Canada?
Everything.
Everything, thank you. Anything else? No guns like the States, thank you. Gun control. Freedom, thank you. Anything else? Algonquin Park. Thank you. Does anybody do any canoeing maybe, you know? Awesome. Tim Hortons. Amen. Maybe we'll go there after church for our coffee today. I love that. Tim Hortons. I like being a Canadian and feel blessed in the lottery of life that I was born here and have a Canadian passport that is well received around the world. Now, the past few weeks, I've enjoyed collecting newspaper articles that reflect the goodness of Canada. I'm also enjoying reading Mary Jo Letty's book, Why We Are Here, A Meditation on Canada. Now, one of the newspaper articles, it was just a little clip on the opinion page, and it said, "My Canada is great" on the editorial page. It was a comment on another article, but I couldn't find the original article. Jackie Dabbs from Grimsby said, "Great comments, Sheila. Being in the same financial circumstances as yourself, I don't want or need anything either. We have the very best healthcare professionals in all of Canada, have amazing friends and family, volunteer 2 or 3 days a week, have a great social calendar, active in our church, and I agree, my Canada is great." I think many of you would agree. Then you may have noticed the article on my door a few weeks ago where Justin Trudeau was offering Canadian lumber and steel to help rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral that was destroyed by fire in mid-April. I don't know, it made me feel proud to be a Canadian when I read that article. Now, Mary Jo Letty's book challenges us to dig a little deeper. She asks us to look at the founding myths that have shaped us as a country. She mentioned the founding myth of the United States being the frontier, wild, wild west. You know, they don't have any gun controls, rugged individualism and all that. Now, she suggests that for two founding myths for Canada are survival and garrison. Survival. How many of you like Canadian winners? Oh, thank you. Couple do. There you go. Can you imagine a Canadian winner if you didn't have a furnace, you know, and, you know, that motor that shoots it all around with gas? So think of people who first came here. Survival. Imagine trying to travel through the dense woods without roads or maps. Frightening. And hearing the sounds of the woods. Garrison. What's a garrison? Thank you, a fort. What's it look like? Those early ones? What? Yeah, walls around it, lumber, trees, and what were the tops like mostly? Spikes. Absolutely, thank you. What do you think it symbolizes? Safety, thank you. Anything else?
Colonization,
thank you. Anything else?
Stay out,
thank you. Anything else?
Barbecue,
there you go. It has that reflection of insiders with power and people on the outside trying to get in. She suggested a positive trait born out of the symbols of survival and garrison is that you had to work hard together to achieve common goals. The making of the fort. Trying to stay warm and survive in the winter. Clear the fields, plow the land. A negative image, it's very intimidating to outsiders. garrisons control who gets in and who gets out. We need to think very hard, both as a country, but also as a church, at making the walls of our garrisons, what is this church like, look like to outsiders, as porous as possible. Now, Mary Jo suggested to get a true picture of Canada, you need to ask people on the margins, people on the outside. Now, she suggests two of those are Indigenous Canadians and recently arrived immigrants. Remembering we're almost all immigrants to Canada at one time or another. Now, listening to people on the margins, where do you think we've heard that before? Have you heard that theme before? What about Scripture? Jesus often hung out with people on the margins. And when he mentions this story of Elisha curing Nahum, a Syrian, in his hometown, what happens? Does anybody remember? He's run out of town. They almost push him off the cliff. How dare you say that God loves the foreigner, our enemies, as much as God loves us, or God cares for them as much as God cares for us. It also fits with the Israelite understanding of kingship, at least by the prophets. The king was to look after the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner in your midst. It's a theme that reverberates throughout Scripture. Kings were not just to look after themselves, and neither were the Israelites. What kind of country, what kind of person do you want to be? Our passage from Luke is a very interesting one. Did Jews and Samaritans get along in Jesus' day? No, absolutely not. They were like, you know, Syrians. It's a quarrel that went back generations. It went back to a time when the Israelites returned from Babylon to rebuild the temple, and the Samaritans were the descendants of the northern kingdom, and they came to help. And you know what the response was? Get lost. We don't want you. You intermarried. You know? Do you think that was received well? Thus started the long-standing feud, their distant cousins, between the Samaritans and the Jews. Now, most Jews would bypass Samaria on the way to Jerusalem. And in a sense, by going through Samaria, Jesus was extending a hand of friendship to people who were their enemies. Have you ever stuck out your hand to someone and they refused to take it? Wow, that's good. Would it feel very good? No. Jesus' hand of friendship was spurned. And do you remember what James and John wanted to do? What? Thank you. Fire and brimstone. Do you want me to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? What does Jesus do? Thank you. He rebuked them. Nowhere in Scripture is the duty of tolerance more strongly reinforced than this story we have of Jesus this morning. And William Barclay said, of all the greatest religious leaders, none was such a pattern of tolerance than John Wesley. One of the examples was his brother Charles, who wrote lots of our older hymns, entered the Roman Catholic Church. And when he did so, he wrote to him and said, whether in this church or not, or that, I care not. You can be saved in either or damned in either, but I fear you are not born again. Think of that statement for a moment. 1750. How well did Roman Catholics and Protestants get along in 1750? Yeah, you get the picture. Not too well. And John Wesley said, whether this church or that, I care not. Wow. The conviction that our beliefs and our methods alone are correct has been the cause of more tragedy and distress in the church than almost anything else. Remember, whatever your hand finds to do, someone thinks differently. William Barclay went on to say, there are many ways to God, no person or church, and I want to add, or religion, has a monopoly on God's truth. Our tolerance must be based not on indifference, but love. We ought to be tolerant not because we don't care or couldn't care less, but because we look upon one another through the eyes of love. Do you want to hear what Abraham Lincoln said when he was criticized for being too courteous to his enemies? As a matter of fact, he was told his duty was to utterly destroy them. Do you know what he responded? This is amazing. Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friend? Do I not destroy my enemy when I make them my friend? What an amazing statement. No wonder he was a great statement. On the 23rd of May, the Hamilton Spectator gives us much to think about on Canada Day. It was an article entitled, A Victory Over Hate Speech and the Meaning of the Canadian Dream. It went on to say that the Ontario Supreme Court judge ruled that Dr. Mohammed Fahy was defamed by Kevin Johnston, who used his hate speech website to describe him and the customers who ate at his restaurant as jihadists and who were up to something nefarious. The judge described Johnston's words as a loathsome example of hate speech at its worst, targeting people simply because of their religious beliefs. Does anybody know what nefarious means? Bad. Thank you. I had to look it up. I assume bad. Wicked, evil, abhorrent, depraved, diabolical. And there was a long list of more words. And the day Muhammad received this news, he couldn't wait for his kids to come home from school to tell them. It's not only important to speak out against bullies and bigots, but to stand up to them and hold them accountable for their words and actions. He says, it's sad when you read the news these days. It feels like the bad guys are always winning. Do you ever feel that way when you read the newspapers, listen to the news? The bad guys are always winning. He says, hate has always been with us, but lately the people who hate have grown bolder and bolder. They emerge from the dark corners of the internet where they feel safe and secure to announce and even celebrate their intolerances. Do you want to guess who Muhammad listens to when he feels down or upset? What do you do when you feel down, upset, and discouraged? Anyone? What do? Eat. Thank you. Yeah, aren't potato chips wonderful? Anyone else? What do? Meditate. Thank you. Awesome example. Anything else? Play the guitar. Music. Wonderful.
Work in the garden.
Absolutely. Work out frustrations. Call a friend. Awesome examples. Work out. Go to the gym. Work out frustrations. Muhammad goes to his computer and listens listens to Martin Luther King Jr. speeches. He likes them because he are reminded there are people whose dreams are not for their own success, but the betterment of all. King's words serve as a reminder it's not enough for any of us to remain silent in our condemnation of bigotry. In the face of hate, silence is a wink. It says, I'm fine with what you're doing. Go ahead and push the boundaries a little more. To triumph over hate, Muhammad says we need to have a steady gaze and a firm spine. Most of all, we all need to stand up and speak out against those who would divide and diminish us. If, as is simple in a conversation, you say, you know, I don't agree with that. I hear lots of great stories about X, Y, and Z people. Canada works best when its people work and live together in community and respect. And we need to keep Canada warm and welcoming. And it's a time of great opportunity for our country, a chance to stand up for what is right and good in the face of increasing intolerance and hate, both in Canada and around the world. Now, I had to laugh this week because Margot showed me an awesome article on Friday evening. Does anybody know Queen Elizabeth? Thank you. How old is the Queen? Thank you. She's 93. Do you know what she had this week? She had a big party at Buckingham Palace. And the Queen celebrated the contribution of all faith groups to British life at a reception. And she asked a question about the problems faced by their communities, including the rising number of asylum seekers and refugees. And the Queen said she had noticed over the years that food was often a way to bring people together from different faiths and traditions. That, I quote, a bit of tea and toast goes a long way. What an amazing line. A little bit of tea and what? Awesome, goes a long way. Canada's a great country. We need to be careful not to let that greatness slip away. There's work to be done. You know, in our passage from Luke today, if you continue to read, it says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man, or I would say ourselves as well, followers of Jesus, have no place to what? Lay their head. Thank you, to rest. We need to work actively to invite our neighbors, those we know, those we don't know, especially those who are different from us, for a little bit of tea and thank you very much. It goes a long way to breaking down barriers and misunderstandings. We need to actively talk about the vision of Canada that we want and actively work to achieve it and not let someone else define it for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.